You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we'll hear a segment from Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay. Jim and John this week mark the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. It serves as a backdrop for their conversation with Jacob Vandenplas with the Door County Farm for Vets. DC Farm for Vets is a rehabilitation farm that provides education and services to veterans entering agriculture.
Once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. We're having a great day today. We're going to Trucker Thursday, of course, but we're also donating this day, or not donating this day. What am I sure? Honoring this day. Local veterans and all the different veterans organizations. And one of our absolutely favorite guys to come into the studio, Jacob Vandenplas, DC, Door County, Farm for Veterans. They do so many things. And again, it's like, okay, we're on the radio talking about stuff, and it's like we're cool, and we're so uncool. It's like you can't get less cool.
Right. We're reminded of that three times a morning.
Because every time somebody walks through a door and they say, because you and I will be like, what'd you do this morning? I got up.
I know. Yeah. So this guy shows up.
Yeah.
2 minutes late. He's all apologetic.
Jake, no, he's not late. He's early. 2 minutes early.
Well, you were actually, you were early.
Drives all the way down from Dark County.
And we're like,
but wait, it's like, and I grabbed him. And I'm like, what's your excuse, Jake?
Right. And Jake, I have great excuses for being late, but you came up with.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
So true. It's
what did you do this morning?
Yeah.
We helped birth a sheep. I walked in and picked up a sheep. And
who didn't, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
okay, but what else did you do? Is that it? To me, that's Tuesday.
Yeah, I packed lunch. I still got to go to work yet today.
You pulled out a sheep.
So you birthed a sheep this morning. Did you, last night, were you with it? Or how does that work? I mean,
you kind of watch them. So typically when it starts getting into the lambing season, you want to separate the ewes from the rams. And we have a nursery set up in the barn. So there's lots of hay, and we're feeding them an alfalfa, which is a higher protein food, which helps with the birthing process. And you really got to watch them. If there is struggles and stuff like that, just like with humans, sometimes sheep, when they get a little bit older, there are some struggles. And you keep an eye on them, and you're never quite sure if you're having a single, a twin, or a triplet. And they do the most part. And I can absolutely say to all the moms in the world, you guys are absolutely
I mean,
absolutely
God's
incredible.
Guy, yeah.
You are remarkable.
Yeah. Were you? The reason I asked that, were you up all night? I mean, did
not last night.
Okay,
but there are times if a mom is struggling,
right.
Yeah, you got to sit out in the barn and you watch and you wait.
Right.
Wow.
And
bless you.
They kind of do the most of it. They do the brunt of the work. We're just kind of the fail-safe. If there's a breach, you got to glove up and lube up and get in and spin them around if there's any issues. But the moms take care of the vast majority of it. And one of the important things, too, and why we keep them segregated and keep them inside is actually the coyotes. So that the smell of the birth and the afterbirth and stuff like that, that's what actually gets out of the air, and that's when the coyotes start to show up.
Wow.
Yeah. Sit too well with me.
You get a pack? Yeah.
Did you get a gun?
I actually just took a video last night. They were right across the street, so they're definitely in the neighborhood. Yeah, they're definitely in the neighborhood.
When I was deer hunting this year, I was just breaking, you know, it's okay, it's starting to get dusk, so you kind of wrap everything. And all of a sudden, I heard, and honestly, I thought there's another camp kind of across the road from us, deer camp. And I thought, hey, shut up, what are you guys, you can't, why are you being so loud out in the woods? You know, I have a little respect for being out in the woods. And it was a pack of coyotes.
Oh, yeah, they're
and
loud.
And I'd never heard them before. Yeah. And it sounds like somebody's having a party next door, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that's what we ended up discovering. And And what you got to be careful of, and I've been asked this a dozen times, okay, can I come out and hunt the coyotes? Can I hunt the coyotes?
Right.
And actually, I say no. Yes, they are in the neighborhood, but coyotes, just like wolves, are actually very territorial. So as long as they are not directly actually messing with your livestock, don't touch them, because if you do go and shoot them, the pack that does come in might actually start messing with them. So we do have all the fences. We've got a couple of Great Pyrenees that kind of walk the property and
stuff
like
that. Kind of the
gangsta. Yeah.
You
mess with one of ours. And if you do eradicate it, then the next pack that moves in, if you do take them out, could start actually messing with it. So
what did you say walks the property?
We've got great livestock guardian dogs.
What are they?
Oh, they're big, like small polar bears.
Really? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. They're big and fluffy. So we've got Kingsley.
What did you
and
say
Little
the name of them was?
Great Pyrenees. Great Pyrenees. Pyrenees. Yeah.
You ever hear of them?
Mm-mm. They're very territorial.
Okay, so what do they do? I mean, do they alert you, or do they actually take on a coyote?
Oh, they'll take on a pack of wolves.
What? Oh,
absolutely. So these dogs are actually put directly in with your livestock, and they kind of sit there and they guard the stock. You can also use donkeys. Donkeys are actually really, really amazing for livestock guardians as well.
Are you serious?
Oh, big time. Absolutely. That's the whole term. The whole term ass comes in because they will kick some ass.
Wow.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? It is 6:41, and I'm learning more things the last 2 minutes than I've ever known in my entire life. Wow. Tell me more about these dogs.
Well, we have them primarily inside, but just having them on the property, and we'll take them for walks, and we walk them around the property. Just having the scent there on the property.
Okay.
Even with deer, when it comes to deer, we'll actually brush them out because they're big and fluffy. They got multiple layers and they're just like huskies. They can stay outside in all the elements, and they actually have a big thick pouch underneath their neck. So even if a wolf or a coyote tries to grab them by their neck, that's not going to do any damage to them.
I will say this though. Okay, you talk about those scents that you don't.
Right.
Bud up at the zoo, we have the big wolf compound type thing. And he said people have asked for dirt from the wolf compound to put around their gardens. Because deer will not go near it.
And that's all I was going to ask about. So are the wolves afraid of this dog? Or is the dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, do they sense that?
Nah, if they're hungry enough, they'll still show up and they'll test it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they'll still show up and test.
And you think the dog would win?
If you get one dog against a couple of wolves, oh, yeah. They'll stand and fight.
Talk to those guys talking about earlier, Johnny.
I got to call Sean Johnson. We got a whole new game.
Now, mind you, a good full-grown Great Pyrenees dog, I think a big one, is rolling at about 130 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Pounds.
What does Milton weigh?
75.
I think you should 72. Train Milton to do that.
He's afraid of...
I think Milton could take on a wolf.
Never.
He
would take on a rabbit. No, he's pretty skittish.
We got baby rabbits born last night, too. So we got two new litters of rabbits. I don't know how many are in the second, because she balls them up in the little nest inside the little nesting box. But our first litter of rabbits, the mom gave birth to 10 little babies.
Nice.
Yep. Wow, you had quite the 24 hours.
It's definitely been intense.
It's this time of year.
It's the season.
Right.
And I just actually got back from Madison late last night, too. I spent down there for Egg Day at the Capitol.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's good that they honor you guys.
We're with Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Vets. I know we got to talk about that. Something else we're talking right before we went on the air that I've always been fascinated with. I've never done it, but I've enjoyed the fruits of your labor. You're making your own maple syrup.
Oh, yes. We're very excited for that. And this Saturday, starting around noon, we're actually going to be putting on, hopefully the weather holds tight for us. But we're actually going to be boiling down a bunch of maple syrup. And
you have like a big cauldron or something?
Oh, yeah. We got a big cauldron and we got an old maple syrup. The cauldron, I actually got two burners. I've got my old burner and then one I creatively acquired from my dad.
Okay.
From the one that we used years and years ago when I was growing up. But you basically put it over a fire, start a fire underneath it, and start steaming it off. So we're going to get a bunch of it burnt down, and we do about 5 gallons an hour, and we can go through a 55-gallon barrel in about an eight-hour period.
Wow.
I don't think people realize what a family tradition maple syrup is.
Yeah.
I was telling you about my friend that does it.
My buddy Chuck Wellens, a Vietnam vet, he's taking his kids out in the backyard yesterday.
Fantastic. It's always like, you know, the deer hunting camp. That's a traditional family thing.
That's so cool.
Either you do it or you don't, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
So do you... Are you in this with the family? You talked about your dad's cauldron.
Yep. So this is something my dad did. We did way back, and probably 25, 30 years ago. And then I brought it back forth with my boys. And we get to do it again this weekend.
Give me a look. You know what, Jake? Let's back up here because we could talk. You fascinate us. I mean, you're we want to be you, and we're not.
We're learning every word.
Yeah, give us your background and everything all the way across the board,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. So,
Jake, and why we have you on this show, which we enjoy having you on, but there's also a purpose to it.
Yep. So my mainstay, I spent 13 years in the Wisconsin Army National Guard and actually deployed out of Bravo Company here, Delta Company, or started with Delta Company to the 127, deployed with Bravo Company. Spent 13
black
years.
Black sheep.
And that's what was born last night, was a black sheep.
Oh, no kidding.
Absolutely.
Well, that's kind of ironic.
Yeah, one of the rams we have, his name is Sir Lancelot, great big black Katahdin and Texel mixed sheep, and he's got a great big beard just like me. He's my favorite.
Wow.
So we keep him around, but... No, I struggled tremendously when I came home. Struggled for about a decade and found refuge in growing. So
I don't want to dig too deep, but struggling, people might think you struggled like financially, but it was much deeper than that.
Oh, much deeper. Yeah. Post-traumatic stress disorder is no joke. Mental health is huge. Even when I spent the last 2 days down for Egg Days in the Capitol, that came up repeatedly over and over again. Even resources for mental health for farmers. So we talk a lot about veteran suicide, but there's not a lot of conversations about suicide with farmers.
I've never heard that in my life.
It's those numbers are up there just right with veterans.
But you know, I told you I watched that movie Green and Gold.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Filmed around here in Door County, obviously up in the farms in Door County. And you know, it kind of hit on that. That was in the early mid 90s when farms were really struggling and all those sorts of things.
Farm crisis.
Yeah, the farm crisis, and you know that's what he was going through.
Yep.
And you know, when you think about that, you know, if we don't get the right rain, our family farm might be gone. Or that the stress, the pressure.
Think of the pressure on just thinking about dad and grandpa.
Well, yeah. And you're talking
that
about
stress. Like, you lose your business. You started it. You lost it. It's like, oh, that's
apply somewhere else. Right. Apply for a new job.
But you're taking not just, you're taking the family down.
You're taking the family down.
But you feel
down.
Like you're taking the family down. You're not.
And that's a lot of pressure. And sometimes you're talking like legacy farms where you're talking third and fourth generation properties that have been in the family since the turn of the century. That's a lot of pressure. And one of the biggest things that we do, especially on Ag Day down at the Capitol, is we get the opportunity to actually sit and speak with our legislators. Because there's a lot of times they just need to know where we're coming from. Just even having those conversations are critical. Those goes across the board. But having that opportunity was absolutely beneficial to cross a lot of bridges. But
that Ag Day, that's a big deal when you go down to the Capitol. I've done it for other associations.
I went there to cover a story one time. There's people from all over the world there.
They had a big sprayer parked right outside of the Capitol. Right. It was awesome.
And they were receptive? Good. I mean, that's good that they listened to you. I was going to ask, did you go with an agenda? Like, is there one or two things that you really, really need? Or was it just more this is what life is like?
The two biggest topics that we really helped push on was some legislation called ARIP, which was legislation specifically for rural roads.
Okay.
They first put that together and they passed, it was like $150 million to redo rural roads specifically to help transport products and goods. And that $150 million, if I remember correctly, was opened up the door for an additional $1.2 billion of commodities to go back out into the public. So the return on investment with those tax dollars was remarkable.
All right. We got to set a really quick break. Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Vets, cooler than anybody else in the room. And you know what?
No argument here, Jen.
In anybody's room. Because our bar is pretty low, I got to be honest. In fact, it's laying in the corner.
Jake's like, of course
I am.
That's
how low our bar is. I kicked and I tripped that on the way in. Back after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a segment from Nightlight with Peach Waba. Director of A Road at Night, John Roach, joins the show. This documentary is about former Badger baller Howard Moore, but also about the fallout of drunk driving. Pete and John go over how the documentary got made, how Howard became a Wisconsin Badger legend, and underlying bonds of teammates.
Our question of the night is, if you could only have one more drink, what would it be? It is National Cocktail Day, ladies and gentlemen, and it begs the question, one more drink your whole life. What are you going to sip, nurse, suck down, guzzle, however you do it? Let us know what your drink of choice is. You can text us on the app, very easy to use, and you need it to play the new Civic Media Spring Break giveaway as well. And it's very easy to text off the app. You can text us old school at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And if you're listening on the stream, that is fine too, folks. It's just great to have you. AJ says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I'm super excited for the Wisconsin Film Festival. That makes two of us, AJ. Will either of you be down in Madison during that time? And if I had one last drink, it would be an Irish coffee. I don't care about quality of coffee or liquor. Just give me coffee, whiskey, and some sort of Irish cream. Wow, that's a great answer. AJ, I will be at the Wisconsin Film Festival for the first 4 days or so. I'll be hosting the Meet the Parents event. They're going to show the original film, the indie film shot by Greg Liana. I will be hosting the Q&A there. That's Saturday afternoon. But say hi if you see me. I'm all over the place during that week. It's a fun time. Brian from Milwaukee says, a Dirty Shirley. What was that? We had that. Somebody else liked the Dirty Shirley on the show.
What? I got to look it up. I got to go to the Google.
A Shirley Temple is a non-alcoholic, so maybe they just put whiskey in there. Maybe it's like an old-fashioned. It might have been Brian, too. Now I'm embarrassed. I forgot what a Dirty Shirley is, but...
So it's vodka, lemon lime soda, ice, grenadine, and then cherries.
Okay.
Maraschino. I think that's how you say it, right?
Sounds delish. Maraschino cherries, yeah. Tom from New Berlin says a 5-gallon muddled old-fashioned brandy, of course. Sure, I guess they never specified how big the drink could be. Tom says 5 gallons. I mean, if you're going to go that route, Tom, just say an endless drink. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My last drink would be a rum and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's a popular bar drink in Wisconsin.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
We have a call.
Yes, we do.
Oh, who do we have?
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I'm not a big drinker, but I will tell a little story about years and years and years ago.
Okay.
My sister and I went to a place, and they used to have a mix that was called Hereford Cow, and it came in flavors like chocolate or vanilla or banana or strawberry. And after we had a few, then we asked the bartender if he could mix us up one with all the flavors together. And he said, well, what do you call that? And we said, oh, we call it a stampede. So a stampede would be good.
A stampede would get the job done, it sounds like.
You bet.
Oh, Ollie, that's fantastic. Thank you, as always, for the call.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Right, have a great night. Or maybe I would go with the stampede. I don't know.
That sounded interesting.
It did. From the 262, listening on WAUK, they say a Moscow Mule.
Oh,
there
yes.
You go. You said mojito, right?
I do, but okay. A good Moscow Mule is really, yeah. That's,
absolutely. Yeah. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, pour me a Blatz. Cheers. That's not a bad way to go. I mean, if it's your last drink, why tease yourself? Throw down a Blatz. I get it, Tyler. Carolyn from Heartland says, love a good Cosmo. Okay. You and Michael Scott from The Office. He loves his Cosmos. That's a great one. Monica from Mount Horeb says a chocolate martini. Believe it or not, I've never had a chocolate martini.
You know what? I had a key lime martini once.
Oh, that sounds good.
And it was amazing.
Monica says, also, the Bartell Theater in Madison is now playing films. This Friday is Hundreds of Beavers. Haven't seen it yet. Going based on your recommendation. Be sure and tell them it's based on our recommendation, Monica, when you show up at the theater. That's a great little theater and a great little movie, which isn't even a little movie anymore. I think it's grossed over $1 million as like a $150,000 independent film. Very funny. Would love to hear what you think of it, Monica, after you've seen it. Ed in Madison says, perfect Manhattan, 2 ounces of rye, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, 1 ounce dry vermouth, 5 to 7 dashes of Angostura bitters. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I didn't know. Actually, I did know there was bitters in Manhattan. He says, shake with ice, 15 to 20 seconds, serve straight up with a thin orange peel, squeeze the peel over the drink, Ed in Madison. Well done, Ed. That was poetry, buddy. Steve in Florida says, in honor of Wisconsin being the dairy state, my last drink would be vanilla ice cream mixed with brandy. I think that's a Brandy Alexander, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Or very close to it, yeah. Conrad's mom checks in and says, I like Wisconsin brandy old-fashioned sour. I found out that other states do not make old-fashions the same way. Yeah, we're kind of like the old-fashioned state, I think. Yeah. We just do it a little differently here. I like whiskey old-fashioned myself.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of other states make it where you can really taste the alcohol.
Yeah, totally.
We do not here.
Right. Hey, are we good on that clip?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, we'll play it when John's here. We have a clip from the film A Road at Night. The director and producer, John Roach, is here to discuss his film, which will be playing at the Wisconsin Film Festival Sunday, April 6th, yeah, at the Barrymore Theater. John is an accomplished writer, producer, director. He co-wrote The Straight Story with Mary Sweeney, and it was directed by David Lynch back in, I want to say, 2000 or 1999. And there were Oscar nominations tied to that film as well. He's a very talented guy. He'll be here after the news, and we will discuss A Road at Night. A film that, for me, it's a tragic story of Howard Moore, former Wisconsin basketball player and coach. But hearing these guys talk about him and talk about Wisconsin basketball in a weird way made me feel better about what happened this weekend. The story is not a fun story until the end. It's a tragic thing, but Howard Moore was just the story needed to be told. John did a great job telling the story, and it's about one of UW-Madison's own, a very cool film. And we will talk to John about that film after the news. Civic Media's news team, folks, is waiting to tell you what you need to know. So listen to it, absorb it, and move on with your life accordingly. John Roach is here in just a few minutes. Ezekiel Drew's at 7:35 talking about Ed Gein, the musical. We are coming right back. Do not go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is up next, and this week he welcomed on State Senator Kelda Royce and State Assembly Representative Ann Rowe. They outline how our state can be helped or hampered depending upon the outcomes of next week's election for Supreme Court, state superintendent, a constitutional amendment, and dozens of school referendums.
One more for Mariah Carey, who turns 56 years old today. Happy birthday to her. Again, it's the opening day for the Brewers. They're in New York to play the Yankees. Coverage starts at 1:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and the newest Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH in Hayward. So tune in for Brewers baseball this afternoon. I don't want to take too much time away from my guests, so I'm going to just very quickly acknowledge a comment on YouTube for somebody who goes by Babs. I mentioned Jessica McBride earlier saying, and they said, Jessica McBride runs an opinion blog, not a news website. And she lies and attacks people every day, so whatever she gets back, she deserves. I'm so sick of people who think it's okay to lie about people, twist the truth, and then act like the victim when people return fire. And it's always people on the MAGA side. Babs, I'm not disagreeing with almost everything that you said there. Jessica McBride probably was doing her thing before, you know, folks were on the left, which is what I would refer to as advocacy journalism. In other words, we're still doing reporting, but you definitely know that it's from a particular point of view. And Jessica, and I forget the name of her professional partner for the Wisconsin Right Now website, have actually done some investigations and broken some news. But you're absolutely right that at the same time, by and large, a lot of her opinions, let's just say I disagree with them and leave it at that. But it's definitely a conversation for another day. But it is that division on the right and what people on the right are doing that make up part of our next conversation here. As we often do on Thursdays, we try to talk to one member of the state Senate, one member from the Assembly, and from the Senate, we've got Senator Kelda Royes joining us from Madison, but from out of town. She's on vacation this week. And new state Representative Ann Rowe joins us from Janesville as well. Representative Rowe, good morning to you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to join you. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here as well. Senator Royes, you hearing us okay? You doing well?
Absolutely. Great to be with you as always.
Okay. And Senator, let me thank you again for being part of our Protecting Justice for All event, where we talked about the stakes of all of the elections, especially the state Supreme Court race. And so let me start with you, because you've said it so well, but I wanted to make sure folks on the radio heard you as well. Look, we're not going to get 100% voter turnout. You never do. We get a pretty healthy turnout in Wisconsin, which means there's always somebody that you can talk to right now and try to say to them, here's why it's important to vote on Tuesday. Kelda, why is it important to vote on Tuesday?
Well, the entire future of our state is going to be determined by the outcome of the Supreme Court election. On the one hand, we could be Elon Musk's plaything. We could end up with a corrupt rubber stamp Trump judge on our Supreme Court who will re-gerrymander the state before you can snap your fingers, and who would like to reinstate the 1849 abortion ban that bans all abortion. On the other hand, if we elect Susan Crawford to the court, we could have fair maps. We could have shared power the way that it's supposed to be in a democracy. We could have workers' rights. We could have voting rights. All of that is at stake. And we've also got, of course, the state superintendent race, which is going to determine the future of public education in the state, or whether we're going to privatize our public schools, and a really important constitutional amendment that's going to affect all of our right to vote.
Representative Ann Rowe, you're newly elected. You went through a grueling campaign, and as your reward, along with all of us in Wisconsin, you get thrown right into another election season, and you see how busy it's been here. Hardly gives you a chance to get oriented around the state capitol before you end up talking about politics again. I'm sure you're doing a lot of that these days.
Well, you know, Pat, I was thinking about it this morning, and actually, I am really grateful for a lot of things, but especially in these times of just absolute chaos and I will say downright horror, certainly at what's going on the federal level, and certainly what I'm observing thus far across the aisle, sadly, in the Assembly. I am so grateful to have an opportunity to have a small seat off the sidelines and hoping to make a difference and help the people of our communities. Even if it's with the small stuff, that's really what sold me on going after the seat, was that despite the awfulness, there is an opportunity every day to help somebody out, even on a small level. And I really am grateful for that, because I think I would lose my mind.
I am so grateful
going on and witnessing what goes across the aisle. And, you know, the last 2 weeks on the Assembly floor have been soul crushing, but at the same time, so proud of our 23, new freshman Democrats, and using our voices and sticking up for our beliefs and remaining steadfast. I hope that brings some small degree of comfort and hope.
Well, I'm grateful to hear you talking about the small stuff, because it doesn't get mentioned enough that there are daily things that legislators help with every day. We call it constituent services. You're connecting people with resources. You're getting answers to their questions. And all of those things have to be done even as you do the big picture things. And I'm going to take the big picture question and bring it back to Senator Royes over here. And I'm not looking to necessarily, twist the knife, the 8th District Republicans and Republicans overall, as we saw in this last presidential campaign. There are some real divisions there, and it's being reflected in all manner of ways. Kelda Royes, what lessons can we glean from that in terms of, what should voters keep in mind in terms of, I guess I'd frame it as service versus power, but maybe you look at the current divisions a little differently.
Well, I mean, I think it's a real cautionary tale. We live in this country with hundreds of millions of people who are all very different. And if you want to have the power to do good things, to make people's lives better, to lower costs for working families, to protect people's rights, the reasons why I'm a Democrat, then you have to be willing to work with people who might not agree with you on every issue. And the way that the Republican Party has been, acquiesced to Trump's very, very extreme, power grabs, his corruption, to the chaos in Washington, means that they're not going to be in power for very long, because they are drumming out the very people who give their party, the life and the intellectual heft. The idea of small government conservatism, it's gone. It's dead. Theirs is a party for oligarchs, a party of corruption and incompetence and chaos. And they're losing, their best people who just say, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to be part of a cult. I'd like to have, less regulation or, lower taxes, all of which are valid to argue about in a democracy. And I just think as Democrats, we have to be willing to say, hey, it's okay that you and I might disagree on this or that policy. We believe in the big things, which are sharing power in a democracy, having free and fair elections, treating each other with respect, trying to get things done, and you live to fight another day.
Right. Well, and in one of those areas where people can have an honest disagreement, Representative Rowe deals with the state budget and a state budget surplus. And I've come at this from the standpoint of saying, look, it's a $4 billion surplus. There are definitely people out there who have plans, if they could do it, to spend the whole $4 billion. There are also folks on the Republican side of things that I think if they had their druthers would give the whole $4 billion away in tax cuts. I'm willing to concede that I think probably you first need to determine the size of the tax cut, and then you can work together on how you invest and spend all the rest. As you head into this session, however, what's been your own guiding philosophy on how the state can craft a new budget that puts that surplus to work in the right way, with or without whatever tax relief you think needs to go in there as well?
Well, I appreciate that question. So I look at budgets at any scale as really a reflection of priorities. And I agree wholeheartedly with Governor Evers' proposed budget centering, really heavy focus on Year of the Kid. Meaning all things, childcare, education, taking care of families, making sure our education, public education, which is in a position of catch up, does indeed catch up. And yet the budget is prudent. In my opinion, it is affordable. And I'm a stickler in all of my service and all of my work. I drill down on those numbers and make sure that we have the math to support what we're going after. And I think the math is there. Now, this is particularly tricky given the national and federal landscape. We all need to have our heads on swivels and be ready to pivot. I got a question at a town board meeting the other night. Well, if these federal cuts go through, it'll be a while, right, before we feel the effect. And I'm like, no. Like right now, we will feel the effect right now. So I think the budget is nimble. Budgets are going to go through push and pull and negotiations of some sort. But to Senator Roy's point, I really believe there's some strong areas in there that will bring bipartisan or should bring bipartisan support in keeping property taxes flat and rewarding those municipalities and cities that keep their budgets in line and helping them with incentives from that standpoint. So placing the trust as it should be at the town and municipal level to manage their budgets. But every town board meeting I go to, it's roads, fire and safety. Roads, fire and safety. And I think the budget gets at that. I think it's prudent, and that surplus, you get a sense of how people must spend money in their own household budgets, right?
Right. Senator, how about you in terms of how this budget moves forward? You've spent an immeasurable amount of time working on crafting state budgets. How do you see this process going forward this year?
Well, listen, I mean, the chaos and the uncertainty out of Washington, D.C. means that our first priority needs to be making sure that we do not further debase Wisconsin's ability to help our people, to make sure that the families, the veterans, the seniors, the kids that are being hurt by Trump's attacks on our government and our public services, that we're going to help us get through this. I think it would be incredibly irresponsible to be pushing through more tax breaks, especially because, you know, Republicans have been relentlessly focused on cutting taxes for the wealthiest, you know, the millionaires and the billionaires and the big corporations who now pay a smaller share of taxes than they have at any point in my lifetime. And it's really appalling. And that's all come at a great expense to our kids, our public schools, our local governments, the core public services that have made Wisconsin a great place to live and raise a family. And that's all in jeopardy now. So I'm not really interested in having some kind of conversation about more tax cuts for the wealthy when we've got schools where kids, an entire generation of kids has not seen an inflationary increase ever. That is shameful, shameful. We've cut $1 billion from public higher education, which is cutting off our future economic success. So until we start actually fixing these the starvation mode that we've been putting our most important public services on, I really don't want to have more conversations about what more should we do for the wealthiest and big business in this state.
Yeah, and it bears something that you touched on and doesn't get talked about nearly enough because nobody wants to defend taxes at any level, it seems. But the tax burden, not the tax dollars you pay, but the tax burden, the percentage of household income that goes to all taxes, the percentage of household income that goes to all taxes, that's the tax burden, is probably at the lowest it's been in our lifetimes, or certainly in a very, very long time. And yet that debate is still going to go on. Folks like Senator Royce are going to do just what she said, make sure that these tax cuts aren't disproportionate to the wealthiest families and businesses in Wisconsin. Senator Kelda Royce, thank you so much for joining us. Representative Ann Rowe, great to see you again. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we will have Luke Mathers talking about what else you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Thursday morning. We'll be right back. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up the first hour of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a segment from the John and Gordy Show down in Madison. John and Gordy welcomed on Jim Healy and Ben Reiser, two programmers and organizers with the Wisconsin Film Festival, beginning next week. This is the second part of a two-part interview, which you can hear in their podcast on the Civic Media website. They chat about some of the movies that you don't want to miss at this year's festival.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning.
It's cloudy, 44 degrees, high close to 60 for today. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. The mismatch sale is ongoing, the biggest sale of the year. Mismatch on the outside, same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. So hurry in now, save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up and sleep better with Verlo Mattress of Madison, two locations, east side and west side. Just go to verlo.com. And the keyword contest, break into spring text to win statewide contest. We're in a contest hour here for another few minutes until 8 a.m. And the word this hour is play, P-L-A-Y. You can use your Civic Media app to text us that word in the next few minutes, and you'll be in to possibly win Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. And that also gets you into the grand prize drawing of a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress and sheets and more. Again, the key word this hour is play, P-L-A-Y. Just download the Civic Media app, find the station, WMDX, use the text button at the bottom of the screen, and enter that in the next few minutes. All right.
We're talking to Jim Healy and Ben Risser about the Wisconsin Film Fest. A lot of films. And off the air, we're talking that you have a lot of shorts that you're featuring as well. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I guess I should say that, you know, the festival is comprised of a bunch of new and exciting films from yes. around the world, but also, as we've talked about, a bunch of films so far today. We also draw on the whole history of cinema with these sort of restorations and rediscoveries yes, of older yes. films.
Those are great.
But we also have a whole section of the festival that's dedicated, we call it Wisconsin Zone. It's dedicated to Wisconsin filmmaking and filmmakers. And so a lot of those films that get sent to us by Wisconsin-based filmmakers or films that were shot here are short films. And so we take a group of them, maybe 10 or 12 of them, and we build these shorts programs around those short films. And we do the same thing for another part of the festival, which is called Big Screens Little Folks, which is films designed for children and families and kids of all ages. And some of those programs are also shorts blocks that are full of like 10 to 12 shorts from around the world, a lot of them animated and a lot of them without any dialogue, so young kids can come see films from Germany and, you know, Europe and Africa, but they don't have to worry about reading subtitles, and they're just wonderful visual treats.
Now, I think Pete Schwab was talking about a film festival in Green Bay. Was there one recently? Is there like a crossover? You mentioned a lot of Wisconsin filmmakers, and you're including them in this. And I think that was kind of a focus on Wisconsin filmmakers, that festival, whatever he was talking about. Can't remember now, but is there a crossover? I mean, do you seek out these filmmakers from Wisconsin, the movies that they have made?
We do. We absolutely do. We have the one part of the festival that is sort of like this open submissions process. We'll take films from anybody who wants to send us films as long as they have a Wisconsin connection. And so then the rest of the festival, the films we've been talking about, are curated by our programmers, Jim, and also our artistic director, Mike King, and a few of us along the way. But so we love the idea that we're showing films throughout the whole history of cinema and these new films from around the world that have shown other festivals and are, you know, highly regarded, and that we show these Wisconsin films right alongside them. And we try to make sure that those Wisconsin films are of a high enough quality that they can stand next to these other films and people would be like, yeah, I get it. I see why you're showing this.
Lake Michigan Monster.
Exactly. And and Hundreds of Beavers, which yes, we showed at the beavers, festival like 3 years ago before it broke huge.
It's just an amazing film. I can't imagine. You know, I know the director, Pete Schwab, actually talked to him, and he said, how do you get the film quality, the feel of that quality? And he said, well, you know, it didn't look right, and then we just thought we'd put some old film scratchiness over it, you know. Yeah. And it turns out, you know, just incredibly surreal, right?
Yeah.
It's just an amazing, amazing film. But anyway, it's something. There's one here, Vixen, and, you know, there's a whole line of these movies from the 60s.
Yes. Well, this is 1969, and it is a sexploitation classic.
Yes, yes.
The movie that kind of really made Russ Meyer, or really made him a lot of money, I guess.
Yeah.
And it got him a contract for 20th Century Fox.
A lot of those movies back then, it was just shameless, topless women walking around.
Yes, and that is absolutely what's going on in Vixen.
Okay. Oh, that's
But with a sense of irony and humor and a sense of what's going on in the country at the time, even though it mostly takes place in British Columbia,
it's about
America and what's happening at the time. And it's a very funny movie, very sexy movie. And
spawned a couple of sequels, right?
Super Vixens and Beneath the Valley of the Ultra Vixens.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now, yeah.
But we're showing the original in a new restoration from the Museum of Modern Art.
Yes.
Who, you know, recognize.
And that's something that is really important. The restorations make these films look so much better.
Mm-hmm. They do. They really look great, certainly as good as they ever did, if not better, and really vibrant.
Thinking of getting the Greasy Strangler anytime soon.
Wow. I'm a deep cut there.
I'm a fan of the Greasy Strangler.
I am too. Okay.
I think the filmmakers have a new movie that's not in the festival called Ebony and Ivory, which is about the meeting of Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney.
Oh, okay. Wow. Excellent. Okay.
Well, Ben and crazy. Jim, we got to leave it there. Wisconsin Film Festival, April 3rd through the 10th. Best place for people to go, best website to go for last minute tickets or just to get an overview of everything that's happening during the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
WIFilmFest.org.
All right.
WIFilmFest.org.
All right. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It really does.
Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
us.
Appreciate it. Coming up, Stephanie Miller is next. Tomorrow on the show, Rocker will be here with a Max Inc. preview.
And we'll be back again this afternoon at 2 o'clock, filling in for Maggie Dawn.
That's right. Tune in. That'll do it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. We hope you have a great day. Talk to you in just a little while here. WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.